They came with a number of objectives. The first was that they said that in our human rights law, in our human rights instruments, their rights were not being protected. That was the first thing they said. They said, we admit that there are extensive human rights instruments, but there is nothing to active rights, our rights as peoples. They did was to try to swayed the UN to take a standardizing process, a process by which discuss kinds of elements they were seeking to protect, and to develop perhaps in due time an instrument which adopted by the General Assembly would serve as a. And one of the first activities that they set about was to sit with experts of the UN and begin to develop key principles of that text. This emerged as initially 1985-1986 as a series of broad principles, but which developed eventually into a draft declaration on rights of indigenous peoples. And one or two of the elements which I think important are first of all that the declaration as it stands makes an effort to identify what would be rights of people, what would be collective that one would need to protect in order to maintain and indigenous communities and peoples. Of course, it deals with the question of rights over land and rights over resources. It deals with rights over cultural issues, such as rights over language. But what it has is a kind of balance between two very fundamental principles. One is the principle of non-discrimination, which is to say that throughout the declaration it seeks, or indigenous people seek, to identify areas where they are not having similar rights to others and to say, we have those rights. We therefore have the same rights as others to education and to health and so on. In other words, to underlying the declaration is the right not to be discriminated against. But a second